gently at first and then demanding as we lost the fight, colliding together like two cars out of control in a head-on collision. One minute I was above him, and the next I was beneath him as he devoured my mouth hungrily, intensely, savagely. Together we were explosive. I gave him back as much as he was giving me. The demand I felt in my body was complete and naked need, intense and erotic. He ground his huge erection against my naked core until I could feel the storm building inside of me. I wanted him. I wanted him at this moment. It was unlike I had ever wanted anything else. As if no male existed before this sensual creature. Not for me, at least. I called his name over and over as it built inside of me, until I thought I would break into a million pieces. His feral growl was low and harsh as he pushed me off of him and stood up, backing away. It was a reality check. His breathing was as labored as my own, the need inside of me winning over self-preservation. I fought to catch my breath, my chest heaving with both breasts exposed to him. My hands shook violently as I righted my clothes and fought to control the urge to reach down and finish the job myself. One touch and I would explode. One touch and I'd come for him.
If you do that to anyone, and I mean anyone else, Sen, I will lock you up inside this fucking room. That wasn't dancing, not by any fucking means.
He paused, turning his full hungry fey eyes in my direction. I was angry, at myself, at him, at this entire situation. You fey fucked me, I accused. And even I heard the lie in my accusation. That had been lust, and I'd been guilty, which pissed me off. I was betraying who I was, and I wanted him angry. Around him, I lost my willpower, and I wanted him to remind me of just what he was. A monster. I was thrown back onto the bed before I knew he'd even moved. His hands caressed my body as his mouth crushed against mine, and every thought that had been inside my head was gone. I had one need, and it was to please him, to give him what he needed of me. His cock pushed against my jeans, and I wanted it inside of me. I told him so, begged him to give it to me, even as my mind screamed somewhere deep in the recesses, deep inside where I was still myself, to fight him off. My body refused to listen. And I instantly knew the difference. The first time had been me, giving in to the hormones. But this time it was him. I felt the storm building again, violently and painfully. His body vibrated with his need, and the sensation was intoxicating. I cried out as I exploded, my body shaking, legs trembling. My eyes open, but sightless as I watched a multitude of colors explode where his face had been.
I could bury my cock inside of you right now, pet. You'd allow it, wouldn't you?
He asked. Yes, I whispered, knowing only one thing. I needed him now.
I could part this sweet pussy and bury myself inside of you, and you'd fucking take every inch I offered while begging for more, wouldn't you, pet?
Yes, I replied, pleading as I shook my head. When I drifted back to Earth, I cried out as my body shook from smaller orgasms still rippling through it. His eyes watched me intensely, angrily.
That's the difference between me mind-fucking you and your body needing release. I suggest you never forget the two, Sen, or I will gladly remind you of the difference.
I blinked at him, unable to make my lips work now that he'd released me from his spell. Angry tears exploded from my eyes, flowing down my cheeks. I turned away from him, forcing him to move his face from mine. He moved away completely, standing up and marching to the door where he opened it and held it there with his eyes still hungrily on me. But there was something else in his eyes as well. Regret. I sat up, swallowing the sob that threatened to steal from my lips as I tried to make my legs work for a hasty retreat. I moved past him in quick, angry strides and continued down the hall until I heard his door slam closed. My knees gave out the minute it did. On my hands and knees on the thickly carpeted floor, I sobbed. I'd been so stupid. I'd just baited a fucking beast in his own domain, and then I'd lashed out at him because of my own traitorous body's reaction. I'd blamed him for my response that he brought out, the inner wanton that I'd starved since Adrian died. I was out of my league with Ryder, over my head in the deep end without going through swimming lessons first. I inhaled and exhaled before holding the wall to help myself up off the floor and made my way back to my room through the maze of hallways that led to the top floor of the mansion. Inside my room, I'd cry. I'd berate myself for being stupid. And then I'd go to find Ryder and apologize because I had been wrong. I'd blamed him, and I wasn't the type to not admit when I'd wrongly accused someone. And I had. As much as it sucked to admit it, I'd been mad at myself for reacting. I'd known the difference before he'd shown me. When I reached my room, it was to find Larissa and Adam both waiting for me, their eyes bugged out at the outfit I wore. "I think I got the job," I whispered, grabbing clothes from the dresser without looking at either of them in the eye and heading for the oversized bathroom before either could figure out I'd been crying. Inside the bathroom, I clicked the lock into place and slid down the door, only to jump as Adam pounded on it.
"Sin, are you okay?"
he shouted as if I couldn't hear him. "I'm fine," I said, not bothering to raise my voice.
"Yeah? Then why is my bullshit meter going off?"
he retorted angrily. "Adam, I just need a few minutes." And then what? Tell them what I'd just done? That I had just come all over Ryder's jeans like some fizz slut? Larissa knocked next. "Sen, can I come in?" "Seriously, guys, I'm fine. I freaked out because he's Faye. We knew it was a possibility. It just happened. I just need a shower, and then can we go get some dinner?" I held my breath, hoping they'd take the not-so-subtle hint to get lost. "Is it because of Adrian?" Larissa continued. I didn't answer. I hadn't even thought about him while I'd been dry-humping Ryder. I'd loved Adrian with everything I had to give, so why had I been so easily tempted by Ryder with no thought to my first and only love when he was around? I'd tried dating last year, but I'd compared the poor guy to Adrian and everything, which eventually made the guy break it off. No one deserved to have to listen to a person they were interested in discussing their dead ex-boyfriend. I was pathetic, which was why I'd sworn off dating and sex altogether. I lifted my head, taking in the huge, rounded tub. It would easily fit as many people as a hot tub would. I had yet to use it since I was more accustomed to showering. The guild had opened shower rooms, one for the boys and the other for the girls. I pushed up off the floor, setting the clothes I'd brought in on the wooden vanity beside the sink. This bathroom was larger than my entire room in our crummy little apartment. But as crummy as my room was, it had become my home. I needed to get back to it, and back to being the self-assured person I normally was. Here, I was at Ryder's mercy, and he knew it, which made him dangerous. It made me weak and reckless, not being in charge of my own destiny or my coven's. The sooner I got done with this little charade he wanted me to do, the sooner I could get back to being myself.
Chapter 18. Shower and redressed in my own clothes, I felt more reasonable. I headed out to find Ryder so I could apologize before I met up with Adam and Larissa for dinner. I found his demon walking the halls as if patrolling and asked where I could find his master, to which he had replied, growling something about
fucking witches and fucking office.
Ryder's office was a mere four rooms from his bedroom, which meant I had to take the same walk of shame to apologize that I'd taken back to my own room in tears. It chapped my ass, but I needed to apologize. My coven's fate was currently in his hands, and right now, those hands were probably itching to be around my neck. I found the door that was labeled Writer's Office and opened the door. And my jaw dropped to the floor. Ryder had Claire sitting on his desk as he pounded a massive erection into her. I gasped, but I couldn't look away from it, or what he was doing. I watched his body punishing hers and found myself wanting to take her place, wanting to be the one he fucked. I couldn't look away from them. My eyes locked onto what they were doing and his sleek, masculine body as he fucked another woman. I grew wet with need and my mouth watered for his kiss. I shook my head as if it would wake me up, with no success. She was whimpering and crying out as he drove himself inside of her over and over again. He wasn't saying anything. Her noises were the only sounds inside the room. Those eyes of his glowed molten fire, telling me he was feeding from her as he hadn't done from me earlier. I bit my lip as heat flooded my core with the need to take her place. I'd left him starving when I'd left him inside his room. I'd seen it in his eyes.
"Either strip and join us or get the fuck out, little girl," he snapped with his eyes now leveled on me.
I turned and ran as fast as I could away from him. His wicked laughter taunted me until I rounded a corner and collided with a very solid form. Saruk's hand studied me as he searched my horrified expression.
"You left him starving, little witch. He's Fey, and he left instead of feeding from you."
He smiled coldly.
"Do you know how many Fey could have walked away after smelling your need?"
At my puzzled expression, he continued.
"We have to feed. You might not like it, but it's life for us. And you smell in need of a good fucking, girl. We can all smell it on you. Too bad Ryder isn't willing to share his new pet. If you were mine, I'd share the fuck out of you and enjoy every scream you gave us as we took you, filling you up until you could take no more."
I stared briefly before taking a big step back. "What the hell did you say to something like that?" "I'm not his pet," I swallowed and continued. "And I know what he is. I'm well aware of that. I only came to tell him I was sorry for accusing him of Fey fucking me when it was me who had reacted to him." I watched his blue eyes shine with laughter, but there was more there in their depths.
"You have suffered at the hands of the Fey, Cynthia, and we understand that. But we were not there when your parents died. Ryder's a good man. He has thousands who he has to make hard choices for, and he's a damn fine man when it comes to making those choices. Most would have become power hungry, but not him. I'd follow him into the depths of hell to guard him. Remember, little witchling, if you push him, we will all push back."
I narrowed my eyes and folded my arms across my chest as I glared at him. "Is that a threat?"
"No, I don't make idle threats. I make promises that I always keep. He's trying to save an entire species from fading away to the pages of a history book. You? I think you're only interested in one thing, revenge, and that always plays out badly for everyone involved."
"I don't take unnecessary risk with my coven, ever." I felt the need to make sure he knew it. His smile was sad as it spread over his full mouth, never touching his eyes.
"If that were true, Cynthia McKenna, you wouldn't be standing here right now. We all make bad choices occasionally."
I blanched at his words and watched as he turned and walked away in the direction where Claire's ecstatic cries were still coming from down the hall. I turned and fled, needing to get out of there. Once again, I'd been enthralled by Ryder, and this time it had been while he fucked someone on his desk. I needed a cold reminder of what I was and why I did what I did, and fast. I stole keys from the entryway before peeking through the window to outside. I quietly opened the door and snuck out of the house, sneaking through the door that led into the garage, before pressing the unlock button to see which car beeped. I growled when three made the same annoying loud beep. Stealthily, I slipped into the first one. I sat in a midnight blue Lamborghini and smiled like a naughty child with her hand in the cookie jar. Oh, hell yes. I hit the button on the keychain to open the garage as I turned it on and pulled out onto the long driveway. I winced when I saw the closed gates, but as I approached them slowly, they slid open. I let out a slow, shaky breath and passed through, waving to the guard like I was supposed to be in Ryder's $250,000 car, smiling like an idiot. I didn't relax until I hit the highway, and then I opened the car's engine and allowed it to purr to life. My mind went back to Ryder inside his office. I considered his option. Way too much. I'd almost taken the step that would have told him yes. I'd seen his hunger shining in his eyes, and I'd wanted to fix it. Of course, I told myself it had been because I'd been the one to enrage his appetite and leave him hanging. I was lying to myself. I was getting pretty damn good at making up excuses for why I did stupid shit around him. I wondered if they would notice the car's absence, since it was unlikely they would notice mine at all. Ryder was partial to his cars, and it showed in the way he drove them, the way his hands caressed the leather. Oh, hell. I switched on the radio and flinched as Nine Inch Nails roared to life from the speakers mounted in the doors. I clicked it back off and rolled my eyes at how pathetic I was acting. Cynthia McKenna, Faye Killer extraordinaire, is giddy over the Dark Prince. I could imagine it in the headlines of the Guild's paper already. I pulled up to the Oak Ridge Cemetery gates and nodded at the gatekeeper before slowly making my way to the unmarked grave in the back, close to the tree lines. It was one of the oldest cemeteries in the state. It was also the only one with no names on any of the graves, just numbers. It was a way to keep track of the dead without giving out their family names or place others on the human's radar. Even though we're technically human, we didn't really fit in with them or the otherworlders. We just continued to protect them, even though they didn't accept us any more than they did the otherworlders, who couldn't pay them enough to be accepted. Money made the human world spin. Always had, and would continue to do so until someone decided they weren't worth keeping around any longer. I parked in the back and exited the car, grabbing for my purse before heading to where Adrian was buried. I'd bought his plot, since he didn't have family to do so. It was the least I could do, since it had been my ego that had gotten him put in the ground to begin with. There had been nothing to bury but a few pints of blood and some hair. No soul lay inside this cold ground to be reborn. I had to live knowing it, knowing that I'd failed to save him. They said the dying had it easy, that being reborn was easy and peaceful. What about the living who had to remember it, had to carry the burden of knowing they'd failed, living with the memories of the dead? I think we have it worse off since we don't forget. I cleared the grave of the pine needles the wind had shed on his resting place. I pulled out the iPod from my purse and stuck in the earbuds, feeling the call of the dead tingling on my skin. None of my dead were buried here. They hadn't been that lucky. I would release Chandra, give her peace until she was reborn. I didn't have my coven to help as her witnesses, but I had a graveyard full of dead souls who had yet to pass on to the ever after, stuck here for some reason or another and unwilling to pass on. Good thing I was one of the few who could raise souls. I'd raised this entire cemetery by accident, soon after Adrian had been buried here. It had been just another botched attempt to release the souls of my parents. I wasn't even sure I could release them. After all, I'd messed up at taking them in, but I'd only been 5. Most witches couldn't master taking a soul until their late 60s, and it was risky to do so at any age. I sat with my back to his grave marker. "I miss you." I waited, as if he would answer me back. I exhaled, trying to find something else to say. Anything. "I'm the world's biggest slut now. Almost gave in to a fae. Go ahead. Roll over in there, eh? Lord knows my parents would be right now." I smirked, finding irony in the fact that I was confiding in a concrete slab with numbers on it. "I miss you," I repeated. Larissa and Adam are totally bumping uglies, by the way. Cue the eye-rolling. I know you would be if you were here. I told you he liked her. I smiled, imagining the wide grin he used to give me when he found out I had been right about something. Okay, let's do this. I stood, feeling eyes watching me. I scanned the area, finding nothing out of place in the thick greenery on the edges of the cemetery. I pulled a small blade from my purse before pulling out the earbuds to listen for a second longer. The wind howled, but other than the witch posted at the gates, I felt no one close enough to be considered a threat. I whispered the words for the candles to be lit, feeling the surge that came before the flames leapt to life in the candelabras that had been scattered throughout the graveyard. The feeling of power running through my veins was heady after being useless for 2 days in a row. Throwing a shield didn't give off the same kind of thrill casting did, and nothing gave the feel of raising the dead, even if it was only souls that I was actually raising here. I took the headphones off and placed the iPod on Dead Shuffle, a playlist I'd made for doing this, since the dead love to dance. Most would consider it odd, but not me. Since they couldn't talk, it was about all they could do and not look like zombies. Okay, well, some still looked like zombies. Let Go by 12 Stones blared to life through the iPod's small speaker. I whispered the words for the releasing of the soul I held, hopeful she would leave my body without a fight when I released the blood. No such luck. Chandra was still pissy about ending up among the dead, which I could understand. I whispered the words for the dead to rise, watching as hundreds of spirits rose from their graves. My eyes flickered to Adrian's empty grave with sorrow. Mrs. Gracie, who had been dead from the early 1800s, wafted over, her feet never touching the ground as she watched me. She had taken some time to get used to. She wore an old-fashioned schoolteacher dress in black and white, which made her wide blue eyes seem out of character, since it was the only thing left in color on her. "Good to see you, Mrs. Gracie. You should seriously think about crossing over, because if you don't, I'm going to have to change your name to Mrs. Gray." I watched her shake her white curls. They had been blonde 3 years ago, violently before she put her nose up in the air and headed to a far-off spot to sit and watch me. Next came the kid, which I couldn't find any information for off his numbers alone, nor did Alden have any knowledge of who the small boy might be. I called him Billy Goatgruff, which he didn't seem to mind at all. Or maybe he did, but it wasn't as if he could tell me. Whoever he was, he needed new clothes, but I wasn't about to dig him up and redress him. "Pick your poison, Billy." I smiled and nodded at the iPod. I said the words to enchant the iPod as he tried to push his not-so-corporeal finger through it. The kid had taste, at least, but of course there weren't many songs I had on my iPod that I didn't like. Linkin Park's Iridescent echoed through the normally quiet cemetery. I smiled and watched him thump his foot on the grass floor of the cemetery. I watched as the spirits started doing the same, waiting for a constant beat to dance to. They wouldn't be finding one inside of this song, but Billy wouldn't let them down with the next one. I sliced through the flesh in my hand and whispered the binding words backward to release Chandra. I felt the anger, the taste of betrayal she felt at being killed. When she did come through, it was a brilliant green flurry of lights, and then her soul exploded, sending sparks everywhere as her soul shattered into 1,000 different pieces. "What the hell?" I asked the ghosts, who all ignored me as if someone hadn't just exploded into tiny pieces of ectoplasm. I closed my eyes and shook my head before opening them, as the song ended and everyone stopped and turned to Billy. He stopped, turning his small angelic face toward the bushes. I turned, looking in the direction, but still couldn't see anything. I turned and tilted my head, waiting to see what he did next. His fingers started crossing his skin, and I realized he was telling me as best he could to put up protection. "Well, shit on fiddlesticks, Billy," I mumbled before cutting my hand deeper to get enough blood to draw the Celtic cross on my cheek. When that was done, I drew the power around me and watched my arms as the italic written words, "Never forget and always remember," lit up on my forearms, as well as every other white ink tattoo I had until the glow reached my eyes. I lifted my face and watched Billy smile wide. I stood out like a sore thumb like this. Most witches wore their branding under glamour. Adam, Adrian, and I had been the only ones to receive our brands in white ink that were invisible to the naked eye. If we stood under a blacklight, we'd be screwed. I watched, picking up everything around the thick bushes. Someone was there, standing just outside the cemetery, watching me. Unless they were of mortal blood or could withstand the wards, they wouldn't be coming in. I turned, listening as Billy messed around with the iPod, finding his next song of choice. I was surprised when he turned on Guns N' Roses' Don't Cry. I winced. The dead loved to dance, and this wasn't one they could dance to. What surprised me more was when they got into couples and actually danced together, except Mrs. Gracie and Billy. Billy floated over to me, his eyes taking in my glowing brands. Everything was off kilter tonight. Maybe I was affecting them with my own dysfunctional issues. I felt the ice of Billy's touch as he traced my arms, and then indicated with those same icy hands for me to flip my arms around for him to continue. His touch, like all the dead, was a cold reminder that they were no longer alive among us. His young chocolate brown eyes lifted to meet mine when he was done tracing the word remember. He poked it a few times before he turned his head to the outskirts again, and then disappeared without his usual flourish. I looked over the now empty cemetery and stifled the shiver that ran down my spine. November rain came on next as a figure walked over the graves, coming in my direction. I held my brands up, watching and waiting. Ryder came into view a few feet away from me as Z came up the middle of the cemetery, keeping a safe distance from me. I watched the awe in Ryder's eyes. Not many knew we could do this, light up like a freaking white Christmas tree. He just stood there looking them over, much as Billy and Mrs. Gracie did. I could see the darkness surrounding him in this view. It was much better than second sight. I could really see him. And surprisingly, besides the darkness I knew would be there, he had a pure soul.
"You glow in the dark, Cynthia," he said softly, as if he was afraid he would wake the dead.
I didn't reply. He wouldn't understand me if I did anyway, since I'd taken the powers I was using from the dead, which meant it would come out in different languages, maybe even some Latin. He watched me as I turned my eyes to the grave in front of me and swallowed, trying to calm the power inside of me, to dump it where I had borrowed it from. I felt his eyes taking in every spell that was visible on my arms. I'd left in a tank top and jeans with sandals since I'd dressed in a hurry. I felt power slinking away slowly as my mind grasped onto the part where he and his men were inside sanctioned and spelled grounds. "Grounds not for you, they be." I winced as my words came out sounding as Yoda. His lips twisted up into a wicked grin.
"Be that as it may, I told the guard you were mine. You stole my car."
"Borrowed it, I did. Return it, I will."
"How bloody fucking hell." "Okay, Yoda. Can I have the woman back whose body you stole?"
"My body it is, yours it is not. Dead I speak, until drained I am." I smiled, unable to help myself. The expression on his beautiful face was priceless.
"You speak the language of the dead?"
I smiled, knowing he wouldn't be able to make sense of it. Billy chose that moment to poke his head up from the ground and wink at me.
"Billy, you knew they were here,"
I said to him, but Ryder wouldn't hear it as such. He'd heard some weird Yoda version. I watched the child bob his head happily before he went to the ground again. I raised my eyes in time to catch Ryder staring at the ground in which Billy had been in.
"See the dead, you do."
"You can raise the dead."
Not a question. Statement, it was. I shook my head and refocused. I started thinking in Yoda form now, too, and I wanted to laugh at myself for it. I nodded carefully, watching his face register the news.
But you cannot raise your parents or your boyfriend.
He continued. I shook my head from side to side, ignoring the pain those words always brought. The light around us started to dim as the power diminished back to where it had come from, slowly. Ryder narrowed his eyes as if he was considering the implications of what I had done tonight.
What are you?
He asked carefully, his eyes sizing me up. I narrowed my eyes at him and pointed to my brands. He nodded his head right before he scratched it, and his features turned questioning. The music changed before he could ask any more questions. I watched him and Z both jump as if they were under attack, but I knew it was only the ghosts getting him one last dance. They liked to scare anyone who came in on our time together. Not that I was anything special. They, however, wielded the power to force any creature to finish the last dance with us. I laughed as Billy blasted House of Pain's jump around and did just that, along with the rest of the ghosts, before my power drained. My head bobbed with his as a smile lifted across my lips. This was my favorite part of coming here. Ryder and Zaruk both looked at me like I was nuts as I danced with the ghost, at Billy's insistence. Dancing with the dead. Boy, they would think I was completely nuts now. I shouted over the music to Billy, who would tell the rest. Next time, dance sooner. Power's fading. I should be back in a few weeks. I turned to Ryder, who wasn't watching my face as I jumped around in place. His eyes were locked on my boobs, which were bouncing, even in the confines of the bra I wore. Billy saw it too. Kid was crazy. Or, well, he was dead, so it wasn't like he could be killed again. His finger was pointing at Ryder and me while he continued to jump up and down. Zaruk was trying to count the dead jumping around instead of watching bouncing boobs. I knew the instant he figured out there were thousands of them. More ghosts than headstones stood inside the cemetery, and I'd brought most of them here. His eyes flew to mine and locked, even as I still jumped with Billy.
Necromancer,
he growled in warning. I shook my head slowly, carefully. I wasn't a necro, but I could manipulate the dead like one. It was just something I could do since I'd taken on dark arts. As the song died off, I turned to look at it from their eyes. I had a cemetery of dead, dancing to some one-hit wonder from the 90s. They all jumped in perfect unison, even though their feet never touched the ground.
You need to explain how the hell you can raise that many spirits,
Ryder growled. I ignored him, placing my hands palm up to watch the branded words fade away. His eyes searched the words intently. As they faded away to nothing once more, I lifted my head, searching for the knife and grabbing my iPod before watching the flowers bloom on Adrian's grave as they always did, thanks to the dead surrounding the soil. It was the deal I had with the ghosts. I dance and bring the tunes, and they grow the flowers once a month on Adrian's grave. I flattened my palm on the headstone. Always remember, Adrian. I looked to where the car was parked and started forward, not bothering to look and see if the Fae followed.
You can raise the dead. How?
Ryder persisted. Dark arts, I mumbled as he caught up to me.
No mortal can do that massive of a scale of magic on the dead. So how the fuck did you?
He shouted, grabbing my shoulder to spin me around. That's a lie. And just because you think it shouldn't be done doesn't make it wrong. I shouted right back with my hands on my hips. I turned back toward the car, but he stopped me again.
Yet you haven't tried to raise any of the dead the serial killer is taking out?
He continued with his voice still raised.
This is a cemetery. Stop shouting.
I growled right back.
Yes, it is. But I just watched you bust a move with the entire blasted place. I don't think they are resting peacefully.
I smiled at his term for what he had seen. Busting a move? We'd been jumping, since it was the best the dead could do, unless you considered their botched-up attempt at couples dancing. He'd seen me lit up with the brands and hadn't made any glow-in-the-dark comments. He hadn't said anything else. That meant he'd seen it before. But how?
Get in the car. Vlad might be leaving town soon. We need to go in by tomorrow night to ensure we see him.
I watched his eyes narrow on my face and tossed Zaruk the keys that I held in my hand. He caught them and nodded before heading to the sleek blue sports car.
What?
I blurted, when he just continued to look at me with his tense amber gaze.
In the office,
he started. Stop. I was coming to say I was sorry. Ay, shit. Okay, here it is, Ryder. I don't trust the Fae. Never have and probably never will. It was my fault today, and I'll admit to that. And yes, I should probably get laid before I have enough hormones to sell them at auction or on the black market. I was wrong to blame you, and that was why I was coming back to your office. What you were doing there was your business and none of mine.
You wanted me,
he said precisely, slowly making me tingle from the huskiness in his timbre. It was a mistake. And besides, I'm a lesser being, so the point is moot. I won't put myself in that position again.
He smiled wickedly. What? Grinding on my coxswain or watching me feed?
I swallowed past the lump forming in my throat. It was going to get stuck in there if I kept hanging around him.
Both. I could make you.
He licked his bottom lip seductively.
Maybe then you would loosen up some. We both felt your hunger today. Mine wasn't immune to yours, and what I fed from was lacking.
I held up my middle finger and opened the passenger door before sliding into the seat and allowing the last bit of the power to leave my body as the night's events sank in. Tomorrow night, I was going to meet Dracula in the flesh. Chapter 19.
Tell me the plan again.
Ryder growled, still upset that I hadn't been able to explain how I could raise the spirits of the dead last night. But then it wasn't as if he was on a need-to-know-everything-about-me basis. I go in on your arm, and we separate. I'm to make myself look unavailable, since Vlad likes what he can't have. I play dumb blonde and make myself sexy. I glared as Adam barked with laughter at my words.
No deviating from the plan. When he takes you in the back room, and he will, you work the information out of him without blowing your cover, or him.
I shot a glare at Ryder. I have no intention of bobbing on Vlad's knob, or yours. I tossed in to remove the wide smirk my response had given him, and it worked.
No surprises in there. If you get in trouble, this ends. Do you understand me?
Yes, master. I grumbled, and then winced at the heat that flashed to life in his eyes.
I like that word on your lips.
Whatever, let's get this done. I need sleep. Adam and Larissa spoke into the mics they wore, testing them before I left the bus with Ryder. I fidgeted with a short black lace-up vinyl skirt that matched the lace-up top of the same tight material. I seriously looked like a hooker, with matching shining black heels that were well over 6 inches high.
Stop fidgeting. You look fine,
Ryder whispered as he slid his hand down my naked back.
I look like a cheap hooker,
I grumbled to distract myself from the feeling of his hand on my skin. I had more makeup on tonight than I'd worn in my entire life. He stopped me by moving his hand further down my back, until it rested on my backside. My breath hitched with the fire his hands were igniting inside of me.
You need to get over this reaction you have to me.
I snorted. I wish it was that easy. Try not touching me. His golden eyes slid down the thin silk shirt to where my nipples pointed up with need. I chewed my lip, but stopped when I tasted the bitterness of the lipstick.
Work on it. Or I will see if I can replace you with Larissa for the gala. I cannot have my soon-to-be bride shying away from my touch.
Laurie can't use glamour the same way I can.
She could, if I helped her.
He let the words hang in the air between us before continuing.
Ariana cannot die. especially not while under my protection. It would create an imbalance that this world might not recover from. Do you get what I'm saying?
He said fiercely.
Got it.
I snapped back as I watched him closely. The bouncers at the wide doors separated as Ryder held up some kind of badge. Both gave him a respectful look and nod, and allowed us entrance, much to the groans of the long line of humans that waited for a chance to get inside Nightshade. Inside was exactly what you would think a vampire club would look like. Red velvet seats covered a long wall, while bottles, partially filled with water, dyed red, lined the walls. A throne sat on a stage where a band was currently playing while doing their best to avoid the chair.
How cliché.
Ryder turned around and looked down at me sharply in warning.
Showtime, Cynthia. Kiss me.
My mouth went dry. All the fluid inside my body went shooting straight to my vagina. I licked my lips nervously. Seriously? That is like the opposite of what I just said outside.
Prove you can do this now.
His eyes searched my face, and with that single look, I melted for him. I was pathetic, a pile of fucking mush from one single look. I reached up, running my fingers through his hair, even as they shook from what I was doing. I was doing exactly what I'd said I wouldn't do just last night inside the cemetery. I had to do this. It was a job. I kept saying it like a mantra inside my head. His eyes remained locked with mine until our lips met softly. His felt of the finest silk, and yet I'd sampled their need last night, and it had literally made my toes curl. He wasn't making it easy on me. He didn't deepen the kiss, so I did, pushing my tongue past his lips in search of his. When I found it, he growled low in his chest and held the small of my back as he caressed my tongue gently with his own, matching the tempo perfectly. The room around us faded away, and the only thing left inside of it was us and this kiss. He pressed me against his body, and I didn't fight him. Instead, I melted against his much larger frame and moaned my need into his mouth. When he pulled away, I was left breathless, and my body hummed with unshackled need. By his playful smile, he knew the effect he had upon my hormones. I so needed to get laid, but not here, and not with him.
The usual table?
A female vamp dressed in a dark sapphire blue evening gown asked.
Yes, Eve, please.
Ryder purred as his eyes slid over her ample bosom. I felt a slight twinge of regret in my chest, but pushed it away. He was getting married, for fuck's sake. And here I was getting territorial. And like that wasn't bad enough, he was fae. I liked having my soul intact, even if it was immersed in darkness from practicing the dark arts.
Will your companion be joining you, or is she unmarked?
She continued, I fucking Ryder right in front of me, as if I wasn't even there. I'm not...
She is not fully marked yet. I'd like to see how she does on her own tonight.
Ryder interjected, stopping my next words before I could tell her I wasn't his damn anything. I smiled coldly at Ryder, who ignored me completely.
Shall I find someone with more attributes for your meal, or do you prefer to hunt for your own?
She said, looking me over and finding me lacking. I almost growled, but decided it was time to split before I cursed her with some magical STD for shits and giggles.
Copy,
I whispered when I walked away, testing the frequency for my team that was still outside monitoring us. I almost groaned when I realized they'd heard me kiss Ryder. I approached the narrow bar and looked at the red liquid inside the bottles. Freaking vampires. Rumor had it that they were a made branch of the Horde. No one knew how it happened. We'd heard that it started with some fae creating these beings that started out life as humans, so they had much of the beauty, magic, and deadliness of the fae. But unlike the other castes of the fae, they fed from blood, while other fae fed off essence and emotions.
It was getting obvious to me, after the vamp signs at the last crime scene, that the Horde needed to find their king. He was the only one who could possibly keep his people in check.
"Pick your poison, baby girl,"
a deep voice said from the other side of the bar. "Gin and tonic, please," I replied back, before remembering I didn't have a wallet or my purse on me. "Crap, never mind," I said, shaking my head.
"It's on the house. First time in here,"
the bartender said, friendly enough. I turned, taking in his dark features. His black hair was multicolored in the lights from the dance floor, his eyes a beautiful silver color that marked him fey in origins. He had well-defined features, which made him both beautiful and deadly. I smiled. "Is it that obvious?" He smiled wide, showing off a set of wicked-looking fangs.
"I always remember a pretty face."
"I bet," I mumbled, turning to take in the club's clientele. "They just come in and offer you their throats."
"Some do. Others come in to see what we offer. Some come in and beg to be turned."
"They have no sense of self-preservation. The fact that this is a vampire club should get them all an Idiot of the Year award."
"And here you sit, inside the undead and unfed section."
"I didn't come here to be a snack," I replied smoothly. His silver eyes sparkled.
"No, you came in with the Dark Prince, not fully marked, but undecided if you want to be his."
He reached over the bar and grabbed the necklace I still wore, pulling me forward.
"Try a vampire."
He licked his left fang and tilted his dark head to the side.
"Before you commit yourself, that is. I promise you won't be sorry."
I reached up and removed his ice-cold hand from the necklace Ryder insisted I keep on. It was more than his mark. It was a name tag. His. I allowed my eyes to slide down the vampire, who wore the club's logo on a plain black t-shirt and vinyl pants that hugged his waist seductively. He wasn't as big as Ryder, but I could see the well-defined body beneath his clothes. I watched as he turned around and started flipping bottles with a shocking speed that my eyes could barely register. I had to refrain from switching on my second sight to be able to keep up with his speed. When the glass was full, I smiled and accepted it with a thank you, then took a drink to help calm my nerves. "So, the real Dracula runs this place?" I asked, trying to pull information from him. I felt bad using his kindness against him, but we needed to know if what had been happening to us was also happening to them. His smile faltered as he looked over my shoulder briefly.
"So you want to sneak a peek at Dracula? What's so fascinating about him? Or are you looking for the whole tortured soul thing?"
"Tortured souls are overrated. Just curiosity, I guess." He smiled and winked.
"You know what they say about curiosity, right?"
I gave him a full smile before replying. "Do I look like a pussy cat?" I winked back at him while he laughed outright. He placed both his palms on the counter and grinned impishly.
"If you were a cat, I'd chase your tail through any dark alley."
His fangs grew as his eyes swirled. I blinked, and his face was back to normal. "Cool trick," I whispered, before taking another drink from the glass in front of me.
"I got a few more."
He wiggled his eyebrows and moved to refill another woman's glass. I spun in the chair to look at where Ryder had been, but his table was empty, and the bar wench was missing as well.
"He's in a booth," the bartender said when he came back.
"Figures," I grumbled and turned back around.
"So you never told me your name," he said.
"You never asked," I replied, enjoying the comforting burn of the alcohol as it warmed my skin.
"I'm asking,"
he continued, his smile still in place. "Cynthia."
"Pretty name for a pretty girl,"
he said, offering up his hand for me to shake. "And yours is?" I asked, holding up my hands to take his.
Dracula.
I blinked slowly. Seriously?
Oh, I get it. You think because I'm a legend that I should be all blah blah, I want to suck your blood.
I chuckled, unable to help myself. Something like that, I said with a smile.
You should smile more often, Cynthia. You could take anyone in this place home.
Is that so? I flushed from the compliment.
I'd take you home,
he said as he leaned in closer to my face. I swallowed and gave him a small smirk as he refilled my drink again. If I didn't know any better, I'd think you were trying to get me drunk and take advantage of me.
You'd be right about the first part. The second one,
he sighed dramatically,
I don't relish my death at Ryder's hands.
You think a prince could take you out? I inquired, needing the information. I knew Ryder was deadly, but I hadn't found very much on him while researching him. It was like he'd popped up on the Fae human radar somewhere around 16 years ago. It was common for Fae to disappear and then resurface years later, but he had no backstory, nothing I could use to get out of the contract or use against him.
He's a very powerful man, and not one I plan on pissing off,
he replied carefully, as if he knew why I was asking him.
Show's about to start, and your man just walked back in.
I snorted and finished the second drink, setting the glass back onto the smooth counter before replying. He is not my man. I stood up, wondering how to bring up the subject of the killer without making Vlad back off and become suspicious of me. When I turned around to speak, he was gone, and in his place was a buxom blonde who also had wicked fangs showing. I looked around the room but didn't see any sign of Vlad.
Shit.
Ryder was walking toward me, scanning the area around me, so I decided to meet him halfway. The moment I stood up and started walking, the club went dark. I stopped, sending out feelers, knowing the minute I used my high beams to see around me, this adventure would be over, and I'd be outed due to glowing in the dark. I held still, listening to everything around me. I could make out the humans from the vamps by the sound of their breathing, as if they anticipated being in the dark with the vampires.
Freaking idiots.
The vampires made no sounds at all. I moved my eyes to where Ryder had been walking toward me, but the moving, glowing white brands made me gasp in surprise as Adam walked toward me slowly. Why was he out of the bus? He should be there protecting Larissa from the shitload of Fae shoved inside it. When he was inches away from where I stood, the lights came back to life and everything inside of me froze. My heart stopped beating. The air in my lungs froze on a whimper. My bottom lip trembled as hot tears shot to my eyes with disbelief. Turquoise eyes, so strikingly bluish green, watched me as his brands glowed, even with the lights of the club back up and running. My hands itched to run over his chest, but I knew this wasn't real. This was a trick. It couldn't be real. I watched his features come into view. He was so beautiful, so alive. His dark, blackish-brown hair looked longer, the smooth lines in his face more defined now. He was more beautiful than I last remembered. He smiled, and I saw his fangs. It's a trick. Only a trick. The vampires knew who I was. They'd known we were coming here. I gave up on caring and flashed on my second sight, seeking to see beyond the glamour the vampire wore. Crimson aura floated around his body, but he wore no glamour. I inhaled and pushed away the tears as he stepped closer and lifted his hand to cup my cheek. His touch was shockingly cold. He was undead. I placed my hand over his as tears broke free and ran down my cheek. Adrian? I whispered through a broken sob that exploded from my trembling lips. Chapter 20. I buried you, I cried, pushing his hand away as everything inside of me cried out in denial. This wasn't real. It had to be someone using something. My earpiece shook as Adam spoke loudly.
Sin, this is not the time to be thinking about him. Pull yourself together.
Thinking? Adam, I'm looking right at him, I whispered, not caring that Adrian was listening to the exchange.
Fancy face,
he said in a soft, husky voice that vibrated through me, kick-starting my heart back to life. This isn't real. Why are you doing this to me? Tears made my voice sound strained as I choked out the words.
I'm real, baby,
he said, before stepping even closer and placing his lips gently over mine. He was cold, but his kiss started a spark I couldn't deny. It was a soft hello kiss, gentle and not forceful. Why? I cried as I pushed him away from me. Why? It was all I could manage to get out as my mind raced, trying to put pieces together.
I chose this,
he said carefully, his eyes scanning my face and then lower as he took in the vinyl I wore.
New look? I like it. Who would have thought that you had a darker side, Sin?
He closed the distance between us and waited for me to push him away again. His skin was still bronzed and golden. His body was still a solid wall of muscle. His touch still sent shocks to my toes as it had the very first time we'd been together. You left me, I cried, feeling as I had the day I discovered his blood covering the floor of the parking garage and the walls. I mourned you, damn it, I growled with my chest heaving from the loss all over again.
You buried nothing, Sin. I taught you better than that. I taught you to never take anything at face value. You buried a box, and I told you before, baby, never believe anything is dead unless you killed it yourself.
Oh my God, Adam and Larissa said from behind me as they came to a stop, as shocked now as I had been at Adrian's resurrection. You knew we were here, I whispered, shocked at the knowledge that he was using the coven's bond to track us, which meant someone very powerful had made it so we couldn't feel him prying in on it. Someone was shielding him from us, and had been since the day he died.
I did. I needed to know if you let me go,
Adrian whispered, leaning his forehead against mine. You abandoned us willingly? I whispered brokenly.
It's hard to explain, Fancy Face. Dance with me?
He didn't give me a choice as Guns N' Roses' Don't Cry played through the club's speakers. His hands wrapped around me, holding me close as his lips played against my ear. It was the same song Billy had played last night at the cemetery. You need to tell me why, Adrian. How could you do this? I asked as my eyes searched and found Ryder's golden eyes narrowed on us, murder in their depths.
Not here, Sin. I'll come to you when you're alone and explain why I had to do this.
His breath feathered over my skin, making me shiver. You killed Belinda. I didn't ask him. I knew he had. No one else around us had the same crimson-colored aura as Adrian did right now. Not inside the club tonight, anyway. He laughed, but it was cold, sending a shiver racing down my spine at how hollow and empty it was. His tongue was hot, unlike the rest of him, as he flicked my earlobe with it before nibbling on the tissue of my ear gently.
I needed to get your attention, Sin. Going through the guild wasn't an option, and since you seem to be playing with the enemy lately, knocking on your door wasn't an option either.
So you killed her to get to me? I swallowed past the bile that pushed up with a vengeance as his words rocked through me.
She was turning us on to inside information from the guild, Sin. Believe it or not, I still love you enough to protect you. She was looking into you specifically. I found hundreds of pictures inside her apartment of you. We never asked her to look into you, Sin, which means someone else had. When she wouldn't give up the information, I took her out.
And the bomb? I snapped, angry at everything happening around me.
Had to make it look like the killer who keeps taking out immortals to get you to look into it, and hopefully come here.
You killed Rex! How you almost killed me, Adrian! I whispered vehemently. He stopped moving, his eyes flashing with regret.
You don't normally go to crime scenes. How was I supposed to know you would have been there, standing over the fucking body?
Next time, call my fucking cell phone or send a fucking letter, Adrian, like normal fucking people do, I seethed.
Oh, and say what, Sin? Oh, by the way, I'm not dead, and could you come with me because we found something that could or couldn't be from the serial killer? No, because I know you, baby. You wouldn't have listened to anything I said without slamming the door in my face.
He shouted, making those around us who hadn't been staring before do so now. Well, maybe if you would have kept your fucking pulse beating, you wouldn't have to hide in the fucking shadows.
I made a choice. I was given an ultimatum and I took it. I couldn't chance the Coven's lives and I couldn't be with you, because you wouldn't either. This way we can be together.
He was growling now, his words coming out hard and sharp. Yeah? Ever consider the fact that I don't fuck dead things? What did you think this would do? Did you even fucking think about asking me how I felt? Did you think we'd live happily ever fucking after if you did this?
He smiled sadly and shook his head. No, Sin. Nothing is that easy with you. I was given a choice, one that could ensure I'd be strong enough to protect you from the things that killed your parents. But hell, maybe I was wrong, since you're currently fucking one of those creatures.
I slapped him before I could think better of it. The sound was audible and harsh over the song still playing. Fuck you, Adrian, I snarled, seeing red at his words.
If you're not fucking him, Fancy Face, then why the fuck are you wearing his mark? Why the fuck are you shacked up in his fucking house? Explain why I felt you react to him more than once tonight.
I buried you. I fucking mourned you, Adrian. You have no fucking right to be pissed about anything I do or don't do. Not anymore.
You think I don't want to leave you alone, Sin? I've tried. Believe me, baby, I've fucking tried, and yet no one can replace you. Hell, they can't even come close to giving me what you have.
I felt more tears push at the back of my eyes, but I refused to allow them to fall. This was too much. I had buried him, and he'd been a few blocks from my apartment the entire time. He'd become something else entirely, and he'd chosen to. I pulled further away from him, which was harder than it should have been. I wanted him to hold me, to tell me this was some sick and twisted joke and that he was still human. But he wasn't. He lacked a pulse. I came to find out if you guys had any bodies piling up, Adrian.
I just told you I wasn't over you, and you ask about dead bodies?
I turned and took in the ashen color of Adam and Larissa. They were in shock, which meant neither of them had known he was alive either. I can't do this right now, Adrian.
No, you just don't think I am the same guy. Take me for a ride, Sin. I promise it will be one you'll never forget.
Seriously? You want me to just forget that you pretended to be dead, or the fact that you left me and the coven you vowed to protect and you used us? I was poking my finger into his solid chest in anger now. Ride you? I want to kick your fucking ass, Adrian. What you put us through is unforgivable. We were in trouble and I almost lost the coven. You left us for power? Screw you, and I hope you choke on it. His eyes started swirling as he moved closer to me, his movements that of the undead, quick, deadly, and calculating.
You belong with me, Sin. You always will.
No, I belonged with the Adrian I buried. The one I loved is dead. You had my heart, but you played it. You left me for them. Not because you needed it, not because of me. I swallowed and turned to Ryder. Did you know he was alive?
No,
Ryder replied with honesty. I turned to face the undead king. You have my attention. I'm walking out of here in about 2 seconds, so if you have something to say, I suggest you say it now. I sure in the hell wouldn't be doing a dance now, not with what I just learned. Vlad searched my face intently before he spoke.
You might be a target for this serial killer. He sent us a female child. She's in the back of my club, hidden. We have had 9 born vampires turn up with missing pieces. Your face was all over the news coverage for the fairy that was killed. Adrian said you were different than the witches at the guild. Was he wrong?
I narrowed my eyes on Vlad. Describe different.
You are currently owned by Ryder. No coven has ever given one of their own.